scripture reading today, Romans chapter 13. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be afraid of the authority? Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also because of conscience' sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. Render, therefore, to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, all are summed up by this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this, knowing that the time that now it is high time to be awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent and the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. We bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for what you are doing here in our midst. And we ask, Lord, your hand to be upon our pastor, that you would anoint him, Lord, as he preaches this word and as he teaches us your heart. And we ask, Lord God, that we would remember to listen well and be obedient, Lord Jesus Christ, unto the Holy Spirit. We thank you for our pastor. We thank you, Lord God, for this day that we gather together and hear from you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Good morning. My name is Mike LeClaire. I'm the pastor of Living Hope Church. I'm honored. I'm blessed to be here sharing God's word with you. Actually, today, I remember back in the day when Jerry would speak to the youth. This is when he was a salted, seasoned pastor. He would always say, and you've heard me say this before, I want you to love me, and I want you to listen to me. Those two words. Because he was going to meet some opposition, probably, based on the content that he was speaking, and I know I'm going to meet it today, because this scripture beat me up today. But before we get into this scripture, the Vandehye family would like to extend their gratitude, their thanks for your generosity, your gifts, your cards, your prayers over the loss of their grandson. Continue to keep them in prayer because this is a journey, and we pray that they grieve and they grieve well, that God would be with you in the midst of your grieving. But they're grateful for this body. So with that said, what a beautiful bunch of scriptures we have today. Oh, my. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all other men. I like that. I can do that. I can live with peace with my neighbor. I can live peace with my neighbors. I can live with peace with the rest of the people down the street, so long as they don't rake their leaves on a windy day where it blows into my yard. So long as they don't leave their garbage cans out for three straight days when we know what the rules are. I can live at peace with them. So long as they don't let their tree branches grow over into my yard and I'm taking care of their thorns and their crab apples and whatnot. I can do that. But then it goes on to say, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. So many times I want to say, Lord, I got this. I got this one. I can handle this one. I can call the Department of Public Works and tell them they're messing up. I can call my neighbor and say, get your stuff together. I can handle that. And he's saying, no, I'll handle that. You be right by me. Oh, man. Oh, man. But God, you don't always go as fast as I would like you to. Well, he's always doing a work, isn't he? Submitting to authority is no easy task. I just did a wedding the other day, and a woman really did not want to hear that word submit. And she was very adamant. I don't want to hear that word. And so I thought she was speaking of a context of wives submit to your husbands. And she didn't particularly care for it. And we joked about it and we laughed about it. But the verse before it says submit one to another. And when I said the word submit, she heard nothing else but the word submit. And she's like this with her, I hate you. She says right during the wedding. Because there's powerful expectations with the word submit, and none of us like to do it. But God is calling us as believers to submit. The authority that is over us was put there by him. So whatever authority that is put before us, we're to honor it, and we're to respect it, and we're to follow it. And this was the easy part. Psalm 22:28, it says, for the kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over the nations. John 18:36 says, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight, so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. That's the same for every believer. Our kingdom that we live in is not here. We're passing through, as my brother said to me the other day. We're just passing through. We got about a 70-year span. Maybe 80, maybe 90 if at the most, really. Well, we're just passing through this kingdom that we happen to inhabit, but it is not our kingdom if you're a believer. You see, if you're a believer, you belong to another kingdom. It is the kingdom of God. And we honor and we respond to and we obey the king that we serve in his kingdom. And that's God. And here's what God is saying. Submit to the authority that I've established over you. Man. In Romans 13:1, it says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. Everything in my flesh resists that statement. But everything in my spirit says, get it together and submit to the authorities that I've put here before you. And then he goes on and he says, for there is no authority except from God. There is no authority except from God. So anybody who stands in a place of authority is under God, whether they know it or not, whether they're moral or not, whether they're good or evil. He is over it, and he's allowed them to be in that place. So we are to listen to it. Why am I getting charged up? Because I've worked through my conviction over the past week in my struggles in this very area, and I know that I'm going to repeat this time and again because we all struggle in this area. At some level or another. We really do. One C says, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Well, I don't like the authorities that exist. He doesn't care whether you like them or not. He wants you to obey them. But you don't understand. They're doing evil things. Well, of course they're doing evil things. They don't know him yet. But you know him. Don't do evil things. We don't deal with evil using evil. That's what he tells us. That's what he told us last week. That's what he told us 2,000 years ago, actually. But know that the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Authority is at the essence of who God is. His word is the only word that endures forever. This is true for no one else. So when he speaks his word, it endures forever, and it has the essence of who he is in the DNA of that statement. God is the ultimate authority. And it is to him that we respond. And sometimes we're responding to him, but we're going through them to respond rightly. One of the things we're called to do, and this is another hard one, this one here I would say to you, I want you to love me and I want you to listen to me. But it's to forgive your enemies. Forgive those who have hurt you. Well, I can't. You don't know what I've been through. I know. In fact, I could break for what you've been through. But we don't necessarily go through them. We forgive because he's called us to forgive. And so when I forgive, I say, Lord God, you know how I feel about how I've been hurt here, but I'm going to forgive them in obedience to you. I forgive them in your name. And help my heart, Lord Jesus, to come alongside that statement of forgiveness. I need your help to forgive them because in my flesh I'm feeling all these other things. Wow, what a beautiful, powerful prayer. Ask for God's help to help you forgive. And until you feel his help, you forgive by faith. Thank you, Jesus. Matthew 28:18 says, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And then after he makes that statement about all the authority that was given to him, he gives a command. He says, therefore, go. What are you walking in? You're walking in his authority that he has given to you to go do the thing he's called you to do. Go what? Go preach my gospel. Go pray for somebody to be healed. Go lay hands on the sick. Go forgive the sinner and tell them there's salvation in Christ alone. Go, go, go. The order is, he is the authority. He is sending. He is telling. We are walking in it. And we walk in it by faith, and we walk in it in power because he is in it with us. That's what he's calling us to do. What are we to do? He says, we're baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. You heard the announcement, and you saw the baptisms last week, how beautiful they were. Teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He is with us always until the end of the age. And for the believer, he is with us always, 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 even after the end of the age, if you're in him. If I get fired up or I get excited or you hear a pastor up here speaking, they get excited and they tell you about coming to Christ. Today is the day of salvation. We don't know what tomorrow brings. Get saved. Receive Christ today because we don't know. But that's the heart of us because that's the mission that he's laid on us to do what he's called us to do for the benefit of man. Why? Because he loves them. 1 Peter 2:13 gets really clear. He says, therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme, to the governors, or as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. Submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. 1 Peter 2:17 says, honor all people. Doesn't say some, it doesn't say a few, the ones you like. It says honor all people. I don't like honoring all people. I can't stand some people. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. And I'm going to say you are striving by the power of the Holy Spirit to love with agape. A love that endures forever. That's how he's calling us to love one another. We'll talk about why in just a little bit, other than He wants us to do what he wants us to do. Fear God. And then it says, honor the king. And if people are looking for loopholes or escape clauses or whatever, honor the king, and this is not capitalized. That means honor the authority that God has put into place in your country. We will honor the King of Kings, capital K. Capital K, King of Kings. But he's saying honor the king. Honor the governor. Honor the senators. Honor the policemen. Honor the fire chief. Honor those who he's put in position over you. Yeah, but Pastor Mike, you don't know how they think and what they do and what they believe. Doesn't matter. That's all irrelevant. Acts 5:29 says, but Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. That's true. That's true. The first way you obey God is by following these statements right here, by honoring the authority that he's put over you. We honor God by honoring the authority. And there comes a time, and we all know it, when the authority of the day in this kingdom to which we don't belong makes statements and laws and precepts and different things, ordinances, that we disagree with. Tough. We honor them. But then there's some that go against God. Oh, well, that's a game changer. If it's going against God, then we go to the supreme authority and we honor him. And by the way, I understand how we work. I know how I work. I rationalize and I manipulate my thinking so that I don't have to honor the authority that's in front of me. And I look for ways to get out of it, and that's not what he's saying. And be very clear on what's of God and what's your opinion. What's of God and what's politics. We honor God by honoring who he's put over us. Do you have to like him? No. You have to love him. You don't have to like them. Do you have to agree with them? No, you don't have to agree with them. You have to listen to them. And you have to obey them. Romans 13:2 says, therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. That is a big statement. If I rebel against a policeman for pulling me over when I was speeding, and I get all righteous, I was in a hurry, you don't understand, to the policeman. There's consequences that come to me, and I deserve them. I remember, this is a true story, and I don't know if I see him out here, but I remember I had a brother who was having a heart attack. We were playing, my son and him were playing basketball up in Fish Creek against each other, and he was having a heart attack, and he calls me, he says, hey, Mike, can you drive me to the hospital? I'm having a heart attack. Well, he's a doctor. He knows he's having a heart attack. I don't know how he can even speak having a heart attack, but it's, and I go into panic mode, yes, yes, yes. And so he gets in my van, and his wife gets in my van, and I am going. And if you know anything about Fish Creek to Sturgeon Bay, speed limit is 55. Well, I'm going 85. And if I would have got pulled over, I would have received the consequences I had because I knew I was doing wrong, and I would have deserved the consequences. But I was believing if I got pulled over, I would pass the baton and say, you guys take them, because you'll get there a lot quicker, because they'll go 120 to get them there. And then Peter said, no, no, I'm not going to Sturgeon Bay. Take me to St. Vincent's. Now I'm going faster. And if you know Peter, he's preaching the word of God to me as he's having a heart attack, and I'm driving in this mode. I knew I was breaking the law, and I was willing to accept the consequences for it, because I believed at this point life was more important than rules of the road. Life was more important than anything, and whatever consequences I had coming, there was this air of righteousness. I'd be okay. Now, I used to play baseball in the Door County League, and if I was late getting to the game, and I did the same thing, I can't use the same justification or rationalization to sin. You know, y'all know what I'm saying, right? No, I'm guilty. If I get pulled over, I deserved every bit that I got. And why am I going too fast? Because I was impatient. I remember riding down to Whitehorse with Ralph Luciano, who was my chauffeur. And you all know Ralph. He's driving. Car's going by. That's not 55. You know, Ralph, you can at least go with the flow. You know what? I was looking for ways to get around the law. What was Ralph doing? 55. Here at 70. Ralph, at 70 now. You can go 70. Ralph, it's okay. You can go 70. 70. And not a step over. Except I'm going to bust Ralph right now. We started talking about Jesus as Ralph would do. And all of a sudden, he doesn't believe in cruise control. Ralph is now going 80. Because he's excited about the things of God. He's just going, Ralph, you're going 80. Woo. This will probably be the last time Ralph visits with me. Here's what this rebellion is, this not submitting to authority. 1 Samuel 15:23 says, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft." That's a big statement. "And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because you have rejected the word of the Lord." That's a big statement. We are to obey the authority that God has put over us until it conflicts with the very specific things he tells you that you are not to do and those that you are to do. And if you deviate from that, from whatever rationalization you come up with, you're acting like witchcraft. Lord, forgive us. And I'm saying forgive us. I've been asking him to forgive me the whole week. Because this is no easy thing. Because my flesh rises up and I want to do it my way. Any state of disorder is due to a disregard of the law. I just want you to think for a second. I'm going to go back to January 6th. I'm going to tell you what was going on inside of me. I didn't like how things went with the election. I felt like no, there's some shady business going on. And I just had those thoughts go through my head. I didn't like it. When I saw this, I was kind of like, to be really honest, inside there was something in me that was about this. Yeah, turn it over. They stole this. They did this. God, forgive me. And I've asked him to do this. God, forgive me for not obeying the law of the land and having a heart that went to this place. I didn't trust him that he would handle this. I didn't even know the facts. I was going purely on emotion because I didn't get my way. And consequently, there's a spirit of not following the authority because it wasn't righteously put into place. Or there's a spirit of not following the authority because it was crooked how they got there. That is not what God has called us to do. You know what he said? He says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness and spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places." That's where our battle is. And if you don't like what's going on, and I'm one of those who didn't like what's going on, get on your knees and pray. We are called to pray. Come here on a Monday. That prayer is covered. That prayer is covered. Gerald's got it listed out. You're going to pray for this, you pray for this. Different people coming up and praying over these topics that are so critical in our day. We're called to pray, not rebel, not resist authority. That's like witchcraft. That's lawlessness. God is not lawless. We serve a God of order. 2 Thessalonians 2:9, you all know this scripture. "The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all powers, signs, and lying wonders." That's who you're serving. It's like speaking lies. You speak the language of your father, the devil, because you don't know Christ. It's the same thing here with lawlessness. You're acting in lawlessness because of what you want or what you desire or what's moving you. You're operating by, I would say again, your father, the devil. He speaks that language. He does that action. And when our bent is towards that, we're honoring him, not God. And it's hard. It's hard to refrain, and it's hard to just only pray. That's because you don't believe in the power of prayer. But it is hard. But this is what we're called to do. And I'm speaking this because I know right where I was, and I know I'm no different than anybody else in here. My heart is wicked until God gets a hold of it and fashions it to conform to him, not to this world. And he's done that at my salvation, but he does it routinely as I rise up in my flesh. And he needs to do that for all of us. And then it goes on in verse 3, it says, "For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same." Another speeding thing. This one happens too frequently. I'm cruising. I'm on country roads, and I'm cruising because I'm anxious and I'm in a hurry to get somewhere. And I see, just before I get to him, a guy parked in the weeds. My first response is like cat-like. I go from gas to brake, ease down. And then for the next 2 miles, I'm not even looking on the road. I'm looking in the rearview mirror to see if he got me. This is a simple picture of a real reality of what happens when we sin in this fashion, greater fashions, going against what God has established. We're looking in the rearview mirror. Did I get caught? Sally, do you think they got me? You should get caught. Jesus. You see, they're there for a purpose. The authority is there to keep order. And when we go against the authority, we break up the order. The opposite of order is lawless. The opposite of following the law, even civil law, is lawlessness. And that's why it says that scripture in 2 Thessalonians. We're operating in lawlessness, and we as believers are called to such a higher standard than that. So if I say that I beat myself up all week, every one of these examples are real, and it's what I've wrestled with. And from now on, it's give yourself an extra 15 minutes. Drive the limit, you know. So this is for all of us, though. And then he goes on in verse 4, he says, "For he is God's minister to you for good." Are you kidding me? Does he have to use the word minister? These people in authority over me, when they totally disagree, they're called my minister? Oh, I don't want them to be called the minister. Call them the gatekeeper. Call them the hard guys that bust you up. Call them something else. Don't call them minister. But that's what they're there for. "But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister." Oh, he said it again. "An avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil." What is the evil that he's referring to? It is going against the laws that have been established by the authority that have been established by him. So, not feeling a lot of love in the room right now. Luke 6:37 says, "Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not condemn. Forgiven, you will be forgiven. Given, it will be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running all over, will put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you." When you go against the authority, consequences will come. If you judge the authority, we're not even called to do that. We do that in prayer. We talk to God in prayer. We share our grievances with him in prayer. But that's not what we do. What we do is we rally dissent. That's what we really do. "I hate that whatever." And then you say it to other believers, and you get them hating that. Once again, I was kicking myself all weekend for that reality because that's what I do. God, forgive me. And that's a real plea. A real truth, asking God to forgive me because I do those things. And rarely do I pray for them when I'm called to pray for them. Pray for those in leadership above you. Well, not this time, not with this person. Are you kidding me? Yes, with this person. And if they don't know Christ, especially for that person. Can you feel the love tonight? There's a really good picture of this in Daniel. And I just hit a couple really quick notes with Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. People were taken off into another land, taken from their homeland. And these four men were righteous men who lived by the laws of God as best as they could. To a land that was godless, it was evil. And everything about them was evil, I would almost say like in Noah's day, continually. I don't know that. Those are my words. But they came to a place in Daniel chapter 1 where they would not eat certain unclean foods. That's going against the law of God. In chapter 3, they would not worship a statue. That's going against the laws of God. Daniel would not stop praying to God. Daniel chapter 6. Why did he not cease praying to God? Because God is worthy of his prayer. And then it goes on in Romans 13:5. Therefore, you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. God is doing something in you and in me when we have to listen to the laws of the land, when they seem to rub us the wrong way and not put our focus on Christ and him alone. He's teaching us something. When I ask you to do this, can you do this for me? When I say be obedient to the security guard who's keeping a place, an area protected, and you give him grief, he's saying to us, can you just be kind and loving to him? Can you let your light shine for him? But Pastor Mike, that you said a security guard. You didn't say the President of the United States. Can you pray for the President of the United States? For him? Because that's what he's asking you to do. These men did what they were called to do. And they did it understanding the consequences were going to come because they were going to obey the authority of God over the authority of man. Because it was confronted. It is happening right then and there. And what did they do? They walked to their consequence. There's no struggle that's written in Scripture. There's no fighting. They went to their consequence. What an incredible sacrifice to God. That they would not resist. They would not go against what God is saying in these Scriptures here. They honored the authority. They broke the rules for God's sake, and there's consequences that come, and they're ready to receive the consequences. All the while, they're being light and they're being salt, because out of it, God delivers them. Why? Because God will deliver you. God is in control. He is doing something. He'll take you to a point, but he'll see you through it. And if he doesn't, God still loves you. God is still in control. God has you. When you're sitting with a mask over your head on your knees, refusing to talk to a false god and say that false god is Lord, and you say Jesus is Lord, and you know you're going to lose your life for it. That could happen. I believe it's happening already, and I believe it's going to happen more and more. Can you stand and can you stay? Can you kneel? Can you say Jesus Christ is Lord, knowing that the consequence of that is your life? Why I like pre-tribulation belief statements. I'll be caught up before that happens. I also like it because I think scripturally it's the most accurate. Romans 13:6 says, because of this, you also pay taxes. Oh, really, God? I just wrestled through all these things. Now I got to pay taxes? Yes, I have to pay taxes. People came to Jesus asking the question, trying to deceive him. Should we pay taxes to this wicked, evil government? He asked for a coin. Whose face is on the coin? Well, it's Caesar's. And he says, render to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. We do pay taxes. Why? We're paying. I hate this. We're paying for our ministers. Those who hold us accountable to good behavior. Those who hold us accountable to maybe not experiencing some wrath of consequences. Look in every place over the last couple years where disorder has ruled, lawlessness has ruled, and there's death, and there's consequences for all kinds of people. Following the rules, there's no death, there's no consequences, at least in those scenarios. Thank you, Jesus, for your powerful word. So in verse 7 it says, render therefore to all their due. Taxes to whom taxes are due. Customs to whom customs are due. Fear to whom fear. Honor to whom honor. The man in authority may be unworthy, but the institution is not, since God wills it. And you're going to honor and respect them. You're going to follow the directive if they have authority over you. Because that's what we do. When do you not do it? When it goes very directly against God's word. Not when it goes what you've contrived and you've made and manipulated and massaged to fit your paradigm. No, you follow the rules. Because then you are being salt. And then you are being light. Then you're being an example to even those who are assaulting you. Can you imagine? You go willingly to the consequence. It's yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, if they're the authority over you. I deserve this. I did break that law, but I did it for this reason, and I know I'm still going to face consequences. You face it like a believer. But that's not what's in our flesh, is it? I'll rise up. I'll fight the establishment. Down with the establishment. You know, I'll rise up. No. You rise up by bowing down, not to them, to him. Follow what he's got for you. What is God really doing here? He is sharpening his church, is what he's doing. He is taking our edges off. He is removing our righteousness and teaching us that it is about his righteousness. And it is a painful growing experience unless you willingly submit to what he's doing. And it's good, but that is what's happening in this. And if it doesn't hit you enough, he says, pay your taxes to those who are your ministers. Wow. Wow. Thank you, Jesus, for that truth. Proverbs 3, 5, 6, you all know this. Trust in the Lord with your own heart and lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways and he'll direct your path. You trust in God with everything. Trust in him with obedience to the authorities that are over you. Thank you, Jesus. Second part is love your neighbor. This is the greatest weapon we have besides prayer, is to love your neighbor. Love, a term that is being so assaulted in the church because it's not legalistic enough to rise up to the standards of the self-righteous. Love is the call for the believers. And it comes out of us, it should be oozing out of us because the abundance of love dwells within us. And that's what should be coming out of us, is love. Oh, but you don't understand a heart. Love. Yeah, but in this situation, love. They did this to love. Once again, I'm on my knees this week for me because it is hard. Because I trust not enough, and I need to trust better to love. I know love, but. What do you mean love, but? Love all. We get no escape clause in this loving. He tells us that we're to love our enemies. Love them. Really? Yes. That's the higher calling. Jesus wept over a city that was about to put him to death. Because he loved them. And he's calling you and I to be the same. We're called to love. Love the authority that you so disagree with. Oh, that was 35 minutes right there. Love. He gives us the commandments, and his commandments all come out of Deuteronomy chapter 6 and Exodus 20 and in the New Covenant. That we're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Well, I do that. Yeah, we're all good about that. We love God. Then he goes on to say, and then you love your neighbor as yourself. And the ones that are looking for an escape clause say, ah, but who's my neighbor? Everybody's your neighbor. I got some neighbors that live next door that have their tree hanging over my yard, dropping their leaves and acorns. But I also have neighbors on the other side of the world just because of humanity. They're really my neighbor. I'm supposed to even be praying for their president, praying that God would do what God does. John 13, 34 says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Romans 13, 10 says, love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And Colossians 3, 14 says, but above all these things, put on love. That means you can't just say it, you got to wear it. You got to put it on. Clothe yourself in it, in love. Oh, I love that guy. I love chocolate chip mint ice cream. And it's about the same level as how I said I love that guy. Except I probably like the chocolate chip ice cream more. No, it's this call is to love like Christ loves us. That's the call. There's no escape clause to love. Wow, I love you guys, even though you all staring at me. Thank you. Thank you. Oh. And the last thing that I want to share is put on Christ. Put on Christ. Clothe yourself in him. In 1 Corinthians 13, most of us know that. It's, you know, love is patient, love is kind, it is gentle. It is, all these things. Keeps no record of wrongs. That's where we all slip up as married people. That's a definition of what love is. In Colossians, it says to put it on, to clothe yourself in it. That's a lot different, isn't it? There's a concept of love and a teaching of love, but then there's the doing of love. I know a t-shirt that says love does. Love is a doing. Love is an action, as we all know. Love. Who? Yeah, love everybody, all the who's out there, the small and the tall, love them, love. Jesus. Philippians 3:20 says, "For our this is so good, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself." Once again, we are passing through. We're supposed to leave a trail, not so much of exhaust, but a trail of love. We're supposed to leave a mark. There should be salt spilled all over the place. Light should be flickering and glowing like a glow stick, but love should be what we leave in our rearview mirror. As we pass through from this life to the next, we pass through from life to death to life. And we're here for a short time. And the greatest of commandments is two, to love him and love them. And respond to who he's put over you. That's loving him again. And the byproduct is loving them. That's the call on the church. So then he says in verse 12, he says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness and lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Why was it emotional for me this week and hard? Because I was wrestling against my own flesh. And that's what's called to each of us when we go from our way to God's way. We are fighting our flesh, and we're trying to move from a fleshly thinking person to a spirit-filled person, operating by the Spirit of God, doing the things of God and not the things of man. Galatians 3:27 says it again, for as many of you, as were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ. Praise God, you are my brothers and sisters in Christ. We are together in him, our Father, the one we hear from, the one the words come out of the abundance of what's in us because he dwells in us. That's who we are, and we should be that way with each other first and then with those outside of the place. Matthew 5:13 says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for food, good for nothing, but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot." What are you doing with your salt? Are you being salt to the world? That's what he's calling us to do. We are to impact the world. And we do it through our obedience. We do it through our faith. But we do it through our love. We don't do anything through our own righteousness. That's a love killer. That's a backbreaker. When our righteousness is the thing. And what we have to do is take an inward look and say, where am I being self-righteous? And where am I operating as God would have me? And then the verse we had last week in Romans 12:21, it says, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Jesus. This teaching was for life. This was life application teaching. If you can't go to the place where you say, "I need to do it like Christ does it," because you don't have Christ in you, you can receive Christ today. And the Bible says that today is the day of salvation. Pastor James, you come on up. Today is the day of salvation. Why? We don't know what tomorrow will bring. We don't even know if there is a tomorrow. Today is the day.